Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hi, folks, you're listening to Two Men in the Mouse, episode 280, recorded live on the YDF Media Network on April the 4th, 2024. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin.
Happy 4-4.
Yep.
Let's sally forth into this episode. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who manage to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. And we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
Oh, man. So, good week in news, and then we got a funny ticket attraction. I am pumped up for this week's episode. I'm very, very excited.
Let's do it.
All right, and big thanks to our friends over at patreon.com/2menintheMouse that are getting all that exclusive content, the 2 Men in the Mouse patron experience, the Geek Watchtower. We're going to be doing some more watch-alongs lately. I have finally, Peter Mandel, figured out how to do the watch-alongs of the sitcom episodes again. I have it.
I
unlocked the secret formula, and so now we're going to be able to pick that back up and start doing the sitcoms go to Walt. So maybe next week we'll watch Blossom, and then, you know, we'll do the watch-along for Patreon, and then we will discuss for an e-ticket on next week's show. So
is there something wrong with me that I'm so excited about this?
No, I am too. I really am. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. So moving right into the worldwide news brought to you by our friends at Away With Me Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation at no additional cost to you. Good to go days are back after being gone for a month. So, yeah, the good to go days for annual pass holders where you could just go without a reservation. So Disney's added a small batch of good to go days. And the last dates, though, were March 5th and 6th. So now they've added April 8th and 9th. The good-to-go annual pass holders may enter theme parks without needing a reservation. This applies to all four Walt Disney World theme parks. And the good-to-go days can be found on the Walt Disney World pass holder admission calendar. So, you know, which I wasn't shocked that there weren't many good-to-go days in March because spring break.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
And a lot of pass holders were blocked out, too. So I don't think you're going to, you know. Disney has announced a new YouTube series called We Call It Imagineering. This is launching today, April 4th, and it's going to take viewers inside Walt Disney Imagineering for a close-up look at the creative and design journey behind Disney experiences. I feel like this is a show we've gotten many times before.
I know. I was just going to say, even from the title, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, isn't this like on Disney Plus like five different times?
Right. Hey, I'll take it.
We don't have any resort, water park, or Disney Springs news, but over in the Magic Kingdom, we finally have an attraction poster for Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
Did you like it? I saw it.
Yeah, it's fine. I think it looks good. It's exactly what it needs to be. Walt Disney Imagineering has released the new attraction poster for the upcoming Tiana's Bayou Adventure. The attraction poster features a vibrant and colorful design set against a yellow background with decorative elements that evoke a feel of a bayou. In the center stands Tiana from Disney's The Princess and the Frog, smiling and striking a confident pose with one hand raised. Surrounding Tiana are whimsical outlines of Madame Odie, Lewis, and several critters enjoying the music. The poster's border is adorned with stylized drawings of foliage and swamp details, further emphasizing the bayou theme. At the bottom of the poster, in bold yellow text on a dark green background, reads Frontierland, signaling the location within Walt Disney World where the attraction is found. The Walt Disney World logo is present in the bottom right corner, rounding off the poster's design elements and setting a tone for the music-filled adventure in the bayou. The Imagineering team has also revealed a second set of musical critters that will appear in the attraction in audio animatronic form. Often found at festivals and street processions, Ramra is a musical tradition from Haiti that's part of a musical history of melting pot of New Orleans. Here are the Ramra musicians that you'll discover further down the bayou. So more park-specific characters here, Pete.
Oh, well, I like that.
Octavia the Bobcat, who plays the Vaskin, a single note horn instrument popular in rah-rah music. She's an adventurous bobcat kitten and loves climbing and hanging out in trees almost as much as she loves performing. The daredevil almost never gets scared. And I have a feeling we're not going to get any of those character notes like throughout the ride. I think she's just going to be, going to be an animatronic that's sitting there playing the horn.
Can we do an episode where we just pick rides at random, like Mission Space, and we just come up with 10 random characters?
Yes,
like
please.
That you might see, like in
we give a back. We give a backstory to like the voice that goes Commander.
Yeah, that would be great. There's a sheet metal worker that helped construct the XS1.
He throws himself into his work because he has a terrible home life. Things are not going well. Him and his wife have been in couples therapy for a while, but I mean, at this point, they're just throwing money away.
Not only is he brave, but he puts on a brave face at work.
Right. Man, you know, he really feels like he's in outer space when he heads home that night to his wife, let me tell you. Pawpaw the Bobcat. Not only is Pawpaw Octavia's devoted grandfather, but he also taught her how to play the vaccine. It's called Vaxin, not Vaskin. Okay. The Vaxin. I'm sure we're going to learn all about that in the ride. Like, they're going to give the backstory about how he taught her to play the Vaxin. Pawpaw lives to make Octavia smile and has the view that everything has a way of working itself out. He's seen it all, but isn't jaded. I have a feeling like when I leave Tiana's Bayou Adventure, I'm going to be like, you know what I really appreciated? The fact that old bobcat had seen it all, but like he's not jaded by it.
Let me tell you, I know we're poking fun at, but I really do love
ride
specific characters. I'm totally in on this.
I do too. I mean, we've done whole shows on this in the past. Like, you know, like the pirate auctioneer has got like his own backstory, his own ship.
Oh yeah.
I do love that. We're just poking a little fun. Claude, the Louisiana black bear. You know, Claude is a salt of the earth kind of bear, or as they say in the bayou, salt of the mound, who plays his horn along with the other members of his family. He's a tinkerer who loves to create with things found in the forest and is frequently funny without intending to be, especially when it comes to his homegrown creations. So this is the black bear that is that was captured in Frontierland recently. And they get awesome. Well, did they give him a job or did they enslave him?
I bet you he was there looking for employment.
Maybe he was like, you know, he was there with his CV. His cover letter left a lot to be desired, though. He went into Bernadette, the Louisiana black bear. OK, so he brought friends. Bernadette loves to enjoy life, from splashing in the waters of her bayou home with her cub Sebastian to playing the horn with her mate Claude. She is a clear thinker and is warm and supportive. Bernadette loves to sink into the bayou waters and munch on plants so long as Sebastian is clearly within sight. I bet you the next one's going to be Sebastian, by the way.
I bet you.
I just can't wait to walk out and be like, you know what? I really appreciated how warm and supportive that girl bear was.
You know, you're joking, but like you watch 5 years from now, there's going to be like T-shirts of these characters.
I guarantee you there will already be plushes and T-shirts of these characters when the ride
launches. It's going to be the Lil Boo of Magic Kingdom.
No, it will not be nearly as good as Lil Boo. Lil Boo and Earl the Squirrel are good because like they were organic.
Yeah.
You know, like they weren't like force fed to people. Sebastian, the Louisiana black bear. I'm shocked. Though he's definitely a mama's cub, Sebastian charted his own musical course as a drummer, despite his parents being devoted horn players. Well, you know, he had to round out the band here. You know, like they couldn't just have a horn player. He's happy to follow his friend Octavia's adventures, as they explore and play, and is fascinated with the small details in the bayou, like the insects and mushrooms. Okay, Fina, the gray fox. Man, there's a lot of characters in this, like, you know, which one's your favorite? Fina's enthusiasm extends beyond her drumming as she's constantly thinking of new ideas. With optimism and energy, this imaginative fox is continually starting new projects with excitement, and her friends accept and celebrate her unique thinking. However, I'm sure she also, like, you know, gets distracted from those ideas and moves on to new things, not unlike myself. Okay, that's it. So Tiana's Bayou Adventure opens in summer 2024, but we currently do not have an opening date for it yet.
I hope these new characters are wearing name tags.
Me too, because I'm not going to remember any of these names. So Will Tomorrowland Speedway get electric cars in the future? That is a big question being asked. You know why it's being asked? Because it was slow news day. No, I'm kidding. Disney has confirmed that Autopia at Disneyland will say farewell to the old combustion engine gas-powered cars and introduce new electric vehicles in the next few years. A Disney spokesman confirmed to the Los Angeles Times that the changes are coming, saying that since opening with Disneyland Park in 1955, Autopia has remained a guest favorite, most popular with young kids experiencing driving for the first time. As the industry moves toward alternative fuel sources, we have developed a roadmap to electrify this attraction and are evaluating technology that will enable us to convert from gas engines in the next few years. I can't believe they were still using gas engines, to be honest.
I know, I didn't even think they were, to be honest. Same.
So do you think, I mean, if that works in Disneyland, they'll bring it to Tomorrowland Speedway, I'm sure.
It is really weird though. I mean, they're right. Like, this is a ride that like is almost every kid's first experience behind the wheel.
Right.
And you can tell so much about it. Like, my son drives, but he's not like a crazy, like, oh, I want to get in the car and go drive all the time person. Uh-huh. And when we rode that, he was the same way. And my daughter, who is coming up upon her driver's license, like, she loves that ride and she can't wait to drive for real. So it's, right. It's strange right. How you see, even
does
at
have,
a
does
very,
she ever,
very young
does she
age.
Have her permit now?
She's about to.
Oh, okay. So you're going to be, you know, with her behind the wheel then?
Yep. Yep. I'm excited about that.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Good, good. Does based on her performance on the Tomorrowland Speedway, how do you think it's going to be?
Honestly, she was so good at it, so young. Like, really? I'm sure she's going to be a fine driver. I almost want her to like chill out a little bit, like, and not think you're like Mario Andretti. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, being good at driving also means just, you know.
In further Magic Kingdom news, the Frontierland Shootin' Arcade is rumored to close. I mean, we all saw that coming.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm amazing at the Frontierland Shootin' Arcade, just to throw that out there. Yeah. We did it like recently, like maybe like a year ago, and I was like a crack shot. Like, I was like Marty McFly.
7-Eleven?
Yeah. The Frontierland Shootin' Arcade at Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom is expected to permanently close this summer to make way for a new Disney Vacation Club member lounge. Disney announced. I know, right? Disney announced early in
January. So bad.
It does. Disney announced in early January that construction on a brand new DVC member lounge in an unspecified location will begin in 2024 at Walt Disney World. They also said the new lounge will be a great place for members to relax and recharge during their day of fun. So I guess everyone just kind of assumed that that's the Frontierland Shootin' Arcade. And honestly, it's, you know, I always see people still buy at the Frontierland Shootin' Arcade. It's never like empty.
Interesting.
People are always there, like, using it. So, but of course, you know, it's not like you don't have to pay for it anymore. You used to like have to put quarters in and stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
Epcot news for the Forces of Nature Acrobat Show has debuted in Epcot.
And
I'll tell you. The new World Celebration Gardens at Epcot is now home to a new acrobatic show called Forces of Nature. There are currently six shows per day beginning at 10:15 a.m. And each following hour, Saturdays through Wednesdays only. So if you want to see an acrobatic show, it looks like all the performers are dressed up as like elements or something like that. Like, I could see like earth, fire, water, you know, ice, and one of them is purple.
Wait
though.
A second. This is an Avatar based.
Maybe they are benders. Maybe the one in the purple is the Avatar.
Listen, I'll go and check it out then.
Yeah. You know, you gotta get on that Avatar money. But yeah, so you know, it's a new live show coming to that like new area in Epcot. So you know what I think about this? I don't like it.
Why?
Because that area is so like calm.
Yeah.
With like, yeah. You know, like, yes, you'll get like a meet and greet here and there, like with characters coming in, like Pluto and Daisy usually come in. But like, do we really need to like pull people into that center area? There's so much seating and there's so much like, it's just such a serene location. I really liked it as like a way to get away from like the hustle and bustle. And now you're going to like pull people in with an acrobat show.
You're totally right. I get that.
Signage is now in place at Communicore Hall in Epcot, preparing for the big opening. The marquee signage that says Communicore Hall has been installed. The sign carries the same Epcot bold typeface as the Creation Shop and Connections Cafe. It confirms that the entrance will be on the side of the building facing the Imagination Pavilion. So, you know, not facing the center. Additionally, the walkway alongside Communicore Hall and Plaza has now reopened, allowing guests to travel between World Showcase and World Nature. Communicore Hall and Plaza will open June 10th, 2024, and it will be home to the iconic Epcot festivals and other celebrations. Disney says it will also be a perfect cool indoor space year-round for you and your family to recharge until they put an acrobat show in there.
Right.
It's going to be crazy. Opening alongside Communicore Plaza from June 10th to September 6th will be a new sing-along featuring the beloved songs and stories of Encanto, as we talked about last week. You know what I'm really looking forward to about Communicore Hall?
Tell me.
Like the new building smell that it's going to have at first.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like when the first time we went on the Disney Wish, it had like this like brand new like ship smell. Like it was just really, really cool. I liked that a lot. It didn't have that the second time we went on. All right, outside Walt Disney World news. We got nothing for Animal Kingdom or Hollywood Studios. The Disney Treasure, speaking of Disney Cruise Lines, has embarked on the next phase of its construction over there in Germany. Walt Disney Imagineering has shared a first look at the Disney Treasure being set afloat at the Meyer Werft shipyard in Germany and on its way to the next phase of construction. So, announced in 2022, the sixth ship in the Disney Cruise Line fleet, the Disney Treasure, is set to make its maiden voyage on December 21st, 2024, from Port Canaveral, Florida. The ship will offer 7-night Eastern and Western Caribbean itineraries. So, yeah, the basically, like, you know, they're done with, like, the external work, and now they're going to fill the little canal with water, and the ship will actually be afloat.
Yeah.
So, I remember when they did that with the Wish. It's pretty cool. Disney has shared a concept for Disneyland at a Avatar experience.
Right.
Now not like the you know, the acrobats that are like the Avatar. Like we're talking right. about like actual like boring blue people Avatar. Like, so oh, look at all the water. Look how pretty the water is for 3.5 hours. I get it, James.
I honestly get it, James.
You like water. God, sorry.
I think they're fun.
I mean, look, I only watched the first one once. I'll probably only have watched the second one once. They are beautiful. Like, they are experiences when you see them in theaters. I just never see the need to rewatch them on a small screen because I'm like, we're kind of like at the point where, you know, like seeing it on the big screen is amazing. But like, I'm not going to like watch a planetarium video on my, you know, television because, you know, the experience is seeing it on the big screen.
Right.
What am I going to focus on the amazingly deep story? No, like you're there because it looks cool. The story is deep as a Dixie cup. I don't know. I don't know why those movies make money. Probably for the exact reason that I just said, like, it's an experience. It's like, it's amazing 3D. It's stunning visuals. It's like when you see it, and when you see it in IMAX, it's breathtaking. But yeah, you know.
I mean, I like it. I think it's fun.
At today's Walt Disney Company's annual shareholders meeting, or yesterday's, Bob Iger shared a first look at a blue sky concept art for a possible Avatar experience at Disneyland Resort in California. Iger said, "You've heard me mention our intention to bring Avatar to Disneyland, and our Imagineers have been hard at work dreaming up what guests might expect. And today I'm excited to give you a first look at the creative inspiration for this possible new destination." It's a very pretty picture that they made for a thing that might never happen.
But again, it might.
Again, it's more of this, oh, you know, we might do Avatar in Disneyland maybe sometime in the near future. If you're lucky, maybe sometime soon. Or we might not. We'll see. I do think that a lot of those blue sky concepts that they put together for Walt Disney World, like, obviously, like, the stuff for Animal Kingdom to take over Dinoland, we're pretty sure that's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know about the extension to Frontierland, though. With Coco and Encanto.
Yeah, I don't know about that either.
Especially if you're putting Encanto in Animal Kingdom. Because wasn't that like part of what they were talking about for Animal Kingdom? Was like Encanto and Zootopia?
I mean, I heard that, you know, batted around at one point. I don't know how real that was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need an Encanto land in two different parks. Like,
no.
We don't even have a Frozen land. Like... Except for the Norway Pavilion, which became the Frozen Land. You know what? I think everybody thought that it was going to just become Arendelle when the ride opened. And I think that, like, in the first like couple months of that ride, it was. But now it's just gone back to being Norway that just happens to have a Frozen ride.
Yeah. Can you imagine if they just did away with Norway? Like, it actually became
it just
Arendelle.
Made
like,
it Arendelle.
Here are the countries of World Showcase.
All right, we're walking from China now, and we are walking into Arendelle.
The fictional worlds with the real world.
I mean, I remember the first time I walked into like the gift shop by the Royal Summer House, and like the cast member was like, "Welcome to Arendelle," and I'm like, "I thought I was in Norway."
Because we know none of you care about Norway.
Yes. Now stay tuned for an informational video about Norway. And I was just like, "Nope, I'm done. Let me out." when you got through Maelstrom and then you got to like the Norway like, movie.
I got stuck there one time.
Oh no, I was like, can we leave? I'm sure Norway's a beautiful country. I have friends from Norway and they say it's gorgeous, so you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay, finally this week, Universal Studios has announced the dates for this year's Halloween Horror Nights. And it is extended this year in food and wine fashion, but not nearly as long. Universal will host its annual Halloween Horror Nights, offering its earliest ever start on 48 nights from August 30th through November 3rd, 2024. That's
okay.
Huge. The 2024 Halloween Horror Nights event dates are August 30th and 31st and September 1st, 4th, 8th, I'm sorry, 1st, 4th to the 8th, 11th to the 15th, 18th to the 22nd, 25th to the 29th, and then October 2nd to 6th, 9th to 13th, 16th to 20th, 23rd to 27th, and 30th to 31st, and then November 1st through 3rd.
Okay.
So, you know, I might have to, leave my wedding to go to Halloween Horror Nights because it's...
I mean, it sounds like you're going to have to.
Yeah, November 2nd. My hands are tied. I got this frequent fear pass, you know, like... pricing begins at $82.99 per person plus tax and rises to $129.99 based on the date. The event promises to deliver 10 new haunted houses inspired by cinematic masterpieces and original stories alongside 5 scare zones populated by hundreds of creatures. Additionally, visitors can enjoy live entertainment, themed food and beverages. Do not get the themed food and beverages, folks. Merchandise at select attractions at Universal Studios Florida. I have never eaten anything at Halloween Horror Nights where I've been like, man, this was a great choice for me.
I know.
And we've got to, my friend and I, who I go with every year, with the frequent fears, we've gotten to the point now where we just eat either at City Walk or we eat before we get to the park. Because we're like, I just can't. Honestly, and I've said this on the show before, I honestly think that it is my weak stomach. Like, I don't know. I think that it's, I have a hard time with like grotesque imagery and food.
I get that. Yeah, we've talked about that. I know you do.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about it in the past. Like, what the first time I saw Danny DeVito as the Penguin in Batman Returns, I didn't eat for like a week. Like every time I looked at food, it just turned my stomach, and I get that same feeling like when I get like the, like I really want to enjoy like the potato spirals and stuff like that, but I can't. Just wasn't good. And that's the news this week. It's a lot of news. We spent it was a lot of critters in the Magic Kingdom, and then a couple of news items.
A lot of them.
A lot of critters going on over at Magic Kingdom. All right, folks, we have got a great e-ticket attraction of the week for you, so stay tuned. More 2 Men in the Mouse coming at you right after this.
This is Bill Farmer, and you're listening to 2 Men and the Mouse.
Folks, when you go to Epcot at Walt Disney World, there's pretty much one thing on your mind, and that's food. A lot of us love to eat and drink around the world, going from World Showcase Pavilion to World Showcase Pavilion, sampling every delicious bite that can be found. However, there is an entire world of food outside of World Showcase at Epcot. Restaurants, both quick service and table service, that exist in all of the different neighborhoods of Epcot. We're talking World Celebration, we're talking World Nature, we're talking World Discovery. I mean, there are places to eat outside of World Showcase, but sometimes those places kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit. We kind of think to ourselves, oh, we got to eat at the festival, or we got to eat at World Showcase. And these restaurants kind of get left behind. So this week, for our Eat to Get attraction of the week, Pete and I are taking a look at all of the Epcot eateries outside of World Showcase and how they measure up and whether they're worth your time. This was your idea, and I love this idea.
You know, I'm going to tell you how this came to me. I had someone this week who is a frequent Disney person. I mean, has gone on multiple trips with their family, and I brought up Garden Grill, and they were like, "What's that?"
Oh, boy.
And I was like, oh, I get it. Because when you go to Epcot, you think, what country am I going to eat in? So a lot of these restaurants get overlooked.
So first, I want to walk us through what's available in World Showcase as far as restaurants go. And then from there, we can talk about what are the A-tier World Showcase restaurants. And then we'll go through everything outside of World Showcase and, you know, see how it stacks up, whether it stacks up against the A tier or whether it stacks up against, or how it stacks up against everything else.
Right, right.
So, all right. So I'm just going to give you a full list real quick. And there are way more World Showcase eateries than I ever thought there were. Like, I mean, I knew all of these existed, but I never saw them in a list before. And there's just so many. And now we're talking both quick service and table service here, folks. All right. So World Showcase, La Cava Tequila. Now, I don't put like regular things that just have drinks on it on this list, but La Cava, you can get actual food. So La Cava does count.
Right.
La Cava Tequila, Rose and Crown, Kringla Bakery, Teppan Edo. So Rose and Crown, I love Rose and Crown. I've eaten there, I think, twice now. And, you know, I like the bar, too. It's like a good bar. Kringla Bakery, you can have a meal at Kringla Bakery. So I felt that it's not just like a snack location, you know?
Right.
We're not putting like pretzel carts on here and stuff like that. I mean, well, until we get to Germany. But the, and you've got Teppan Edo, which, you know, I mean, really, it's a hibachi place. Yorkshire County Fish Shop, always a popular destination. Via Napoli, the place, that's the place in Italy that I like to go, Via Napoli. I like it a lot better than Tutto Italia. The Regal Eagle Smokehouse, one of my favorites. The Refreshment Port in Canada, where you can always get some kind of poutine. La Halle Boulangerie Patisserie, which I think a lot of people don't know is there.
Yeah.
Because it's so far in the back. Like, you got to go past the ice cream shop, and it's like back there, and they've got so much stuff back there. Like baguettes and sandwiches and macarons, and I was shocked when I went back there.
How many times have you gone there and there's a massive line?
Yeah.
I mean, it's years, the real deal.
Yeah, years into living here, I was like, wow, I never really noticed back here before. But it was like, I think it was because of Rachel. Like, she wanted to try something that was back there, like that she had seen on like Instagram or something. And I was like, wait, there's something back there? But I realized I had seen it before, but it just never stuck in my brain that it was there. I don't know.
Right.
Okay. Refreshment Outpost. Le Cellier, La Cantina de San Angel, Tangerine Cafe, Spice Road Table, Sommerfest, Beer Garden, La Hacienda de San Angel, Tutto Gusto, Choza de Margarita, the San Angel Inn, La Creperie de Paris, Katsura Grill, which, by the way, Katsura Grill, don't sleep on that. That's a really good quick service location. We very rarely eat at Katsura Grill though, because there's so if I want Japanese food, there's so much better right outside Walt Disney World. There's a really Kura Sushi is right outside of Walt Disney World, and that place is great. But if you're on a vacation and you're not leaving Disney, I think Katsura Grill is great. Shiki Sai, which is one of the new restaurants in Japan. Akershus, Chefs de France, Tutto Italia, the Lotus Blossom Cafe, Monsieur Paul, Nine Dragons, and Takumi Te. Now, those are all of our restaurants. Now, the A tier we've decided is Le Cellier, obviously. Gotta be. Then you said Chefs de France. Why Chefs de France?
I always get a good meal there.
Yeah,
I think just, one of the nicer sit downs in Disney.
It's like a consistent member of the roster.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't hit a home run every time, but they at least get a double every time they come up at bat. Like, yeah. You know, RBIs.
I mean, I also said Nine Dragons, but that was in jest.
Yeah, no, you said that in jest, and I laughed at you. Because that's just Chinese food that you can order anywhere. Monsieur Paul, another French restaurant there. And this was my go with me here, the Regal Eagle Smokehouse. Because
I
wanted a quick service location, and I think it's the best quick service location around World Showcase. It is, in the America Pavilion. It's Muppet themed. I think it's really good barbecue. Like, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I honestly don't think you put it on there because it's Muppet themed.
Yeah, no, honestly, I forgot that it was Muppet themed. I put it on there. And you know, it's a good place to, like, you know, it's got, I like that it has a soda fountain. So like when you order a drink there, you can refill. Yeah. Just a good place. I like it a lot. It is usually a must do at least like a couple times a year for me. Now, let's go through outside World Showcase places one at a time, and then we'll kind of like dissect what you can get there and how it stacks up. All right. Do you want to open a Garden Grill, or should we save that for last?
Hey, we do whatever you want.
All right, let's open a Garden Grill. We'll talk.
Okay.
Yeah. So Garden Grill, I've never eaten at Garden Grill, but I know this is your place. Like, this is the place that you've
eaten
at
a lot.
Yeah, I'm probably over 20 times at this point.
Oh yeah. I mean, but I can give you pros and cons of it also, right?
Please,
I mean,
do. Please do.
I like the food a lot, right? They change the menu sometimes if there's like, you know, shortages and stuff. Remember there was a turkey shortage for a while?
Was there really?
Oh yeah, yeah. And they changed to barbecue chicken at that time. But
how was that barbecue chicken? The food's,
how is that barbecue chicken?
Yeah, was it good?
Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
Okay.
It was all right.
Better than turkey?
No, I prefer the turkey. Turkey's okay. Back, so we're good. Also like the fact that it's a character meal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been the same characters as long as I've been going there. It's, you know, Mickey, Chip, Dale, and Pluto dressed in their kind of like farmer gear, which I enjoy. I always think that that's really fun. And it's a rotating restaurant, which is, I think, unique. I don't think there's any other rotating restaurants in the area.
Super.
So I think that's pretty big. But let me also just say this, as far as cons, it's a rotating restaurant.
Right.
And for people who are really sensitive to motion sickness, that is, I understand that it can be a problem.
Does it go fast? Does it go fast enough where you can actually feel it? Because I've never.
Of course not. But I know someone who just went and was like, had a hard time.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like, you should almost go there with your dad as an experiment.
I probably should. Like, do you think, like, it's bad enough where, like, you should take a Dramamine, like, before you go in?
No. I think it more just freaks people out.
Okay.
Let me also say the other con is it is expensive.
Yeah.
Every time I get that bill at Garden Grill, I'm like, woo, I'm not sure I eat this much food. It is expensive. And I get it. Yeah, it is a character meal. They do tend to be more. I feel like the food's, you know,
keep in mind the dining plan is back now, though.
That's true. That's true. And some of us partake. So, I mean, I'm a fan of the dining plan.
For sure.
But it is an expensive meal.
Right. Right. Okay, so would you put this up against any of our A-tier World Showcase restaurants?
I mean, I would not eat Garden Grill over, let's say, L'Estelier.
Okay.
But I do think it is worthy of notice.
Would you eat there over Chefs de France? I think I would.
I would.
I've eaten at Chefs de France, and like, it was good. It was quality. I had no complaints, but yeah, I think like something like Garden Grill would definitely exceed a Chefs de France. Unless you just really like French food. But you know, Chefs de France used to kind of be a character meal because they used to bring Remy around.
Yeah.
They did do that. All right. So next, you know, we're going to stay in the Land Pavilion, and we're going to talk. We're going to talk about Sunshine Seasons, quick service location. People sleep on this a lot. Okay.
Like, you know, I'm telling you, is it because they're hidden? Do you
think
that's
so.
Part of it?
But how hidden is it really? You have to pass it to go to an e-ticket attraction.
I know. And everyone goes on Soarin'. Everybody.
Everybody goes on Soarin'. And most people will also go on Living with the Land, and it's right there.
I know.
They've got good stuff there, man. Like, I mean, I feel like I, like, right now I need to just, like, read off, like, some of their menu items.
It's never really crowded there. I'm always amazed. They have ample seating.
They have so much seating that they closed off a part of that seating for a pass holder lounge for like a little while. An open air pass holder lounge, but still, I guess, a pass holder lounge. All right. So you can go there for breakfast, and here's the breakfast menu. Breakfast sandwich. Ham, egg, and cheddar on a Kaiser roll. And then you have baked goods like cinnamon rolls, croissants, chocolate croissants, and muffins, and snacks like yogurt dipper kids pack, parfait, an apple pack, mango parfait, assorted fruit cups, cuties, mandarin oranges, three pack, assorted cereal, and apple slices. Specialty beverages are a Moana milkshake and a seasonal milkshake. Beverages include Joffrey's shaken Jamaican ready to drink cold brew with oat milk and sweetened Simply Orange, Fresh Brew Joffrey's Coffee, Hot Cocoa, Twinings Hot Tea, Dasani Bottled Water, Chocolate Soy Milk, Vanilla Soy Milk, Milk, Minute Maid Apple Juice, and Small Chocolate Milk. All right, so that's breakfast. Let's talk about lunch. Because I don't believe it has a dinner menu. I think lunch is just kind of it. I think it closes around dinner time, actually.
Does it? Didn't know that.
I remember trying to go to it one time, and it was closed. Because like it closed like at a certain point. All right, entrees. Then lunch is where this place really excels. Like breakfast at Disney, you're usually just getting like a breakfast sandwich, eggs, whatever. Okay. Oak grilled rotisserie chicken served with black beans and yellow rice. Oak grilled salmon served with mashed potatoes and ratatouille. Rachel had the salmon last time, I think, and really liked it. Stir-fried chicken with teriyaki chicken, peppers, onions, pineapple, and a tangy sweet and sour sauce. Mongolian beef with vegetable fried rice. Stir-fried shrimp with honey ginger sauce, seasonal vegetables, and cashews. A roast beef sandwich, chilled roast beef, chimichurri aioli, cheddar, arugula, and red onion on a flour-topped Kaiser roll served with potato chips. I had that last time, and it was fantastic.
Oh, that sounds good.
Birria tacos with beef, Monterey Jack, onions, cilantro, and lime served with consomme. A cheese pizza roll served with pasta salad. A pepperoni pizza roll served with pasta salad. And a Mediterranean vegetable sandwich, which is roasted red pepper, red onion, tomato, arugula, hummus, and balsamic vinaigrette on herb focaccia served with potato chips. This is not like a normal quick service menu.
No, not at all.
It's a fantastic menu. And no one goes here, Pete. That's the craziest thing to me.
I know.
Kids menu. You can get salmon, chicken drumsticks, cheese pizza roll, pepperoni pizza roll, and mac and cheese. Snacks include a Caesar salad with shrimp. A shrimp Caesar salad is a snack here. Power green salad with chicken, Caesar salad with chicken, charcuterie and cheese plate, power green salad, roasted turkey BLT wrap, Caesar salad, turkey sandwich kids pack, PB&J Uncrustable, yogurt dipper kids pack, cinnamon roll, roasted pepper, roasted red pepper hummus, parfait, apple pack, chocolate croissant, mango parfait, muffin, assorted fruit cups, cuties, mandarin three pack, assorted artisanal cookies, a croissant, assorted chips, assorted cereals, assorted granola bars, apple slices, assorted candy, carrots, pickle in a pouch, and applesauce. Desserts include peanut butter whoopie pie, turtle brownie, and chocolate chunk cookie. Specialty beverages are the milkshakes that we talked about before. And you have assorted fountain beverages, a strawberry boba fruit juice, Joffrey's shaken Jamaican ready-to-drink cold brew, Simply Orange, hot cocoa, Twinings, all the other beverages we talked about before. They also have alcoholic beverages, a Bloody Mary. You can get the Schafferhofer grapefruit beer here that you can also get in Germany, which is like one of like the big things that everybody loves in Germany. Orange Blossom Pilsner, Cigar City Jai Alai IPA from Tampa, Corona Extra Lager from Mexico, Blue Moon Belgian White Ale, Yingling Traditional Lager, Bud Light Lager, White Claw, because if you want there to be no laws while you're drinking claws.
Right. Yeah,
they have the Black Cherry Hard Seltzer. Ramona Blood Orange Wine Spritz, Ramona Meyer Lemon Wine Spritz, Ramona Dry Ruby Grapefruit Wine Spritz. I mean, this is fantastic.
Yep.
This I think is, it trumps anything in World Showcase quick service wise.
Yeah, this is the hidden gem of Epcot. You're
getting a table service quality meal here, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
This might be the best quick service. location in all of Walt Disney World. I mean, I don't know. Now I'm thinking about Flame Tree and Satouli Canteen.
Well, I mean, but think about it, right? My problem with Satouli Canteen and Flame Tree is my daughter wants to go to Satouli Canteen and my son and my wife want to go to Flame Tree.
Right.
And here you have all of these choices.
It is a very diverse menu. That's the thing. Like, it's got something for everyone pretty much. So 100% don't sleep on Sunshine Seasons. All right. Space 220 table service restaurant. Now you are going to have to guide us here because I've never eaten there.
Yeah, I've done it twice. The first time was when they first opened and it was okay. The second time I was really surprised and it was really good.
I didn't know you did it twice.
I did it twice. Yeah. Huh. Second time I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Walk us through what's so good about it.
You know, it's an experience. So part of me wants to say, you know, for someone who's thinking about doing it, is this your first time?
Right.
Because if it's your first time, you're going to be like, this is really cool.
Like, because there's a show aspect to it, right? Like you go up in like the elevator and
you're
stuff.
In space. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So from that angle, like, I think that's important as to, like, when I went the second time, I went with three people who had never done it and I really wanted to show it to them and I knew that they would enjoy it. So, like, that's, you know, important. But I will say that second time I went, the food quality was fantastic. And we got four different things, four different apps. I was surprised, actually, how great it was. So I did really enjoy it.
Is it a la carte or is it prefix?
It is prefix. So I will say the negatives are that, right? Like, that. Well, first off, negative number one is it's hard to get a reservation sometimes. Negative number two is it is expensive, especially if you're going for, like, lunch. I know a lot of people recommend the lounge because you kind of can just order whatever you want. But if you want kind of like, you know me, right? Like, I want a reservation. I want to walk in and know I'm getting a seat.
Right.
So it can be an expensive lunch or even dinner. You know, it is pricey.
Now, you know, here's what I want to do. I want to actually go back to Garden Grill for a second. I'm going to go through the table service restaurants and I want you to tell me Garden Grill or the thing that I've just mentioned. And then we'll do it for Space 220. Okay.
Okay.
Rose and Crown.
Garden Grill.
Teppanetto.
I mean Garden Grill.
Yeah. Via Napoli.
Hibachi.
Yeah.
You know, I've never had it. Ethan really wants to do it, but honestly, we've looked at the menu extensively and it looks like it's just pizza.
It's not. I had like a, like, I mean, my friend had like a gnocchi. I don't remember what I had, but it was good. It wasn't pizza.
Okay. I don't really do cheese or pasta. So,
Italian places are difficult for you then.
Having said that, I like Via Napoli. I mean, I like Tutto Italian.
Okay. All right. So, Le Cellier.
No, Le Cellier is the king.
Yeah. La Cantina de San Angel.
No, I would take Garden Grill over that.
Okay. Spice Road Table. That's the table service, right? Spice Road Table, or is it?
I think so. I've never done it.
I believe Tangerine Cafe is the quick service in Morocco.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a reason why I've never done it.
Yeah, because it just doesn't appeal to you.
Right.
Okay. Beer Garden.
No, not a fan.
Garden Grill. All right.
Yep.
La Hacienda de San Angel.
No, I would still take Garden Grill over that.
Wait, La Cantina de San Angel, I was confusing it with, that's the quick service location. So, right, Hacienda, right. So, Tutto Gusto.
Nope.
Garden Grill.
Going Garden Grill, yeah.
All right. San Angel Inn.
I mean, I'd be tempted because I haven't eaten there in a while, and I do love the decor, but I'm still going to go Garden Grill just food-wise.
Shiki Sai. Now, I know we've never done it, but now, based on what you know of it, would you do it over Garden Grill? I mean, it's expensive.
Well, I mean, it is expensive, and I do have picky eaters, so, you know, that can hold me up. For that reason, I would go Garden Grill, but I am interested in trying that.
Akershus.
No, not a huge fan.
Garden Grill?
I'm gonna go Garden Grill, yeah.
All right, Chefs de France.
Yeah, I'd still go Garden Grill, but I do like Chefs de France.
Tutto Italia.
Gotta go Garden Grill stuff. I think Garden Grill's kind of like food wise, I think is really quality.
Okay. Which one's the table service? Lotus Blossom or Nine Dragons?
Nine Dragons.
All right, Nine Dragons. We know it's Garden Grill. Monsieur Paul.
I would love to do Monster Ball.
Over Garden Grill?
I probably would try it, yeah.
Yeah. And Takumi Te.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Again, picky eaters and whatnot.
Yeah, right.
All
right,
so now let's do that again for Space 220. All right, Rose and Crown versus Space 220.
Man, factoring in everything involved.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Space 220, actually. I know that's okay. Crazy to a lot of people. I honestly, the Rose and Crown menu is really small.
It
if
is.
You don't like fish and chips, you're not having a great time there.
Teppanetto.
Nope. Just hibachi.
Space 220.
Yeah, I mean, experience versus experience. I'll take the Space 220 experience.
Okay. Okay, Via Napoli.
Nope, just pizza. Gonna go 220.
Okay. Let's see. Le Cellier.
Gonna go Le Cellier.
Yeah. The Spice Road Table.
Nope. 220.
220. All right. Beer Garden.
Nope. Still going 220.
Hacienda de San Angel.
Nope. 220.
Tutto Gusto. That's the wine cellar, by the way, Tutto Gusto.
Yeah. No, so, I'm still going to go 220.
San Angel Inn.
You know, I might go San Angel Inn over 220.
Yeah, San Angel Inn's a good time. That's the one that's actually in the pyramid. So, Shiki Sai.
Don't know it well enough. Oof, if I had to choose, if you were like, hey, Pete, I'm going to buy you dinner, let's go to one of these. I don't know. I might do that.
I think I would say Shiki Sai also.
Yeah.
Akershus. I'm assuming you're going 220.
Yep. 220, yeah.
Okay. Chefs de France.
I'm going to go Chefs de France. I probably
Chefs
would
de France over 220. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Tutto Italia.
No.
Okay.
Man, it's a really tough call on that one.
Yeah.
I've always had a good meal at Tutto Italia. I got to be honest with you. I know sometimes I hear people knock it, but I've always liked my food there. I don't know. That might be a tie.
Okay. Monsieur Paul.
I would go Monsieur Paul.
Okay. Nine Dragons. Obviously, it's Space 220.
Just for the experience, I'd like to go Nine Dragons, but I'll go 220.
And Takumi Te. I would love to do Takumi Te.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah. I'm like all about that. Okay. So let's move on to the Connections Cafe. All right. So let's compare this to some quick service locations in World Showcase. Kringla Bakery versus Connections Cafe. Where are you going?
I feel like I'm going bakery on that one.
Really? The bakery
Let me just.
Okay.
My Connections experience was a little skewed because I had just gotten off of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. So you were feeling sick.
So I know I ate there, but like, I don't remember much about that meal.
Okay. All right. So you're going Kringla Bakery over Connections Cafe.
Might just be my sweet tooth at the moment.
Okay. I think I would go Connections over the Kringla Bakery. I really like the burgers. Yorkshire County Fish Shop versus Connections. This is a rough one.
Yeah, never had it. I hear nothing but great things. You tell me.
No, I think knowing that I could get better fish and chips in Disney Springs, I would go.
You always say that.
Yeah, I would probably go Connections Cafe on that one.
Does Yorkshire have seating?
Yes, it does. There's like a little seating area right next to it. Not a big seating area, but it's big enough. Regal Eagle Smokehouse.
I love Regal Eagle.
Yeah, I think I got to go Regal Eagle on that one. Easily. La Halle Boulangerie Patisserie. I'm going Connections.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Refreshment Outpost. I do love that poutine, but I think I got to go Connections on this one also.
Agreed.
Poutine, the right poutine can be a meal, but
sure,
you know, I was just that hot honey chicken that they had at Connections. It was just could not be beat.
Wow. I'm excited about trying this again.
La Cantina de San Angel. I'm also going Connections on this one.
Okay, I think I would also.
Yeah, I mean, I do like their chips and guac, but the chip to guac ratio is so far off that it's almost not worth it.
Right.
The Tangerine Cafe.
Gonna go Connections.
You know what? This is a rough one for me because I really like that shawarma. But I think Connections is gonna win it out for me in this one as well. Zomerfest.
Nope, not for me.
Yeah, same. Let's see. Choza de Margarita.
Still going connections.
Yeah, same here. Choza de Margarita doesn't have a lot of food. So, La Creperie de Paris.
I mean, it's just, it's one note, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crepes. So I'm going right. Connections there too.
And I like the crepes, but I don't, you know.
Hatsura Grill. Here's the thing. I like Hatsura Grill. I like it a lot. I think it's great. I can get way better Japanese food 5 minutes down the road.
Right.
So I typically would go connections over that because they have like that French bistro burger that I can't get down the road. So let's see. Lotus Blossom Cafe. I think I'm going connections here.
Yep.
You can get better food at Hunan Wok. So I love Hunan Wok.
Yeah, seriously.
Cranford, New Jersey's very own. Look, can I tell you something? Chinese food in Jersey and Chinese food in Florida are two very different things.
Really?
Oh my God, dude. It does not even compare. The Chinese food in Jersey is so far superior. It's to the point where, like, when I come home, it's not, oh my God, I gotta get pizza or I gotta get bagels. It's, oh my God, I gotta get some General Tso's chicken.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I dream about Hunan Wok.
They actually close one day a week now. I think they close on Tuesdays.
You know, I was about to ask if it was Tuesday because all the Chinese food places around here close on Tuesdays.
They close on Tuesdays, and I applaud that as a business owner. I feel like you do need a day off.
But, you know, and I think it's also Tuesday, I guess, is the slow day, and they don't want to close the weekends, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I get it. And they don't want to close Monday either because I feel like a lot of people on Monday. Yeah. So, I mean, I get it. Let's see. We just said Lotus Blossom Cafe. Is that all of them? That's all of the quick service locations. Okay. So that was all right. You ready for Coral Reef?
Great. Coral Reef.
This is going to be a pretty easy one, I think. La Cava Tequila. I'm going La Cava Tequila over Coral Reef.
Okay. But for me, I'd go Coral Reef, but I get it.
Rose and Crown versus Coral Reef.
You know, I got to tell you something. I do have some love for Coral Reef.
When's the last time you ate at Coral Reef?
I'll say a couple years ago. It was right when the pandemic started.
Yeah, dude, I just ate there. It was so bad.
Was it?
It was like the worst Disney food I've ever had.
What did you get?
There was like nothing on the menu that I even wanted. And then I don't remember what I got, but I remember it was gross and I didn't like it.
Okay.
And I kept trying to like ask the waiter to like bring me things that I thought might make the meal like make it more like appetizing. And it's like the first ever Disney meal where like I still had over half of it on my plate at the end of the meal. And they were like, oh, do you want me to wrap that up? And I'm like, no.
Wow.
Don't do it. It was just bad. Okay. So you're going over Rose and Crown.
I think I feel like Rose and Crown's menu is so limited.
Yeah.
So limited.
I gotta tell you, Coral Reef's menu is very limited now too.
I just know Coral Reef has a mahi mahi on the menu, and I feel like I would love that. Mm.
Okay, Teppanetto.
I think I'd go Coral Reef.
Teppanetto for me. Via Napoli.
Well, I would like to try Via Napoli.
Yeah, Via Napoli's good.
I hear nothing but really great things.
Having gone to Via Napoli, I would go to Via Napoli over Coral Reef.
Problem with Via Napoli's menu really is primarily pizza.
It's not, though. There was so much more than just pizza on that menu.
Really? I feel like I've looked and it's like mostly pizza.
It's known for its pizza, but I know I didn't have pizza, so... Okay, I don't think anyone at my table had pizza either. So the Le Cellier.
Well, come on now.
Yeah, Le Cellier. We're going Le Cellier. Tangerine Cafe. I'm sorry. Cafe is the quick service. Spice Road Table, right. I mean.
I would probably still go Coral Reef, but mostly because most of my immediate family is scared off by the word spice.
Yes. I would go to Spice Road Table. Beer Garden. This is kind of,
you know,
this
what?
Is kind of a, like, which side of the Titanic are you going to fall off of?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would rather go to Coral Reef because it's a nice kind of pretty environment. Disney-fied German food to me is not my jam.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And I hate having to sit with people. Come on now.
Yeah, no, that you're right. I think I would even go Coral Reef on this one. The Hacienda de San Angel.
Huh.
I'm going San Angel over Coral Reef.
Okay. Yeah, I'm indifferent on this one. This one's a wash.
Yeah, Tudo Gusto. That's the wine cellar. I think I don't know how much food they actually have. So let's just move on to San Angel Inn. I'm going San Angel Inn.
I will go San Angel also.
Shiki Sai. I'm going Shiki Sai.
Yeah, you swear by Shiki Sai. So I would try that.
I mean, I haven't tried it yet, but the menu looks great.
Yeah.
The Akershus.
Nope, I'm going to go Coral Reef.
I'm going Akershus, man. I really liked the Norwegian food on on the cruise ship, and I think
it a Norwegian cruise?
No, it was not. It was a Disney cruise, and so I think some of the food is the same. So, okay, Chefs de France.
I'll go Chefs de France.
Yeah, I'm going Chefs de France. Tutto Italia.
I actually like Tutto Italia.
I know you do, which is weird because Italian food is so much pasta and cheese. So,
well, you know what? So here's the weird thing. Like every time we go there, everyone's like, oh, we want to go there. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And then I feel like I have a better meal than everybody else. I don't know if it's just like what I order.
Yeah.
But I always have a good time there.
Okay. So yeah, I'd go Tutto Italia also. Monsieur Paul. Obviously, Monsieur Paul.
Yeah. Come on now.
Nine Dragons.
No.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go. I'd have to go Coral Reef over Nine Dragons. Takumite, I'd go Takumite.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? We do need to do the comparisons with Sunshine Seasons. We gotta figure out what other quick service locations we're not going to and going to.
Okay.
So, Sunshine Seasons versus La Cava Tequila.
I'm gonna go Seasons.
Same thing. Sunshine Seasons. Kringla Bakery.
Seasons.
Sunshine Seasons for me as well. Yorkshire County Fish Shop.
Huh, interesting.
Rough one, but again, I'm going with the same reason why Sunshine Seasons, because I can get better fish and chips at Disney Springs.
Yeah, I same.
Regal Eagle Smokehouse. This is a rough one.
Wow, that is a rough one. You know what? Honestly, I'd probably go Regal Eagle.
I think I would too. Yeah, I think I'm still going Refreshment Port. I'm going Sunshine Seasons.
Yep.
La Halle's Boulangerie Patisserie. I'm going Sunshine Seasons.
Of course.
The Refreshment Outpost, Sunshine Seasons. La Cantina de San Angel.
I'm going to go Seasons.
I'm going to go Seasons too. Tangerine Cafe. I'm going Sunshine Seasons.
Agreed.
Summerfest, Sunshine Seasons.
Definitely.
Chozo de Margarita.
Seasons.
Sunshine Seasons. Katsura Grill, Sunshine Seasons. And the Lotus Blossom Cafe, also Sunshine Seasons.
Yeah, Seasons. I mean, really, what a great place.
Like I said, it's one of the best quick service locations in Walt Disney World. I think the only things that might really trump it right now are you know, the Animal Kingdom offerings with Flame Tree and Satouli Canteen. So
right.
Yeah, so that there you go. There you have it. That is our outside of World Showcase restaurants compared to World Showcase. Not bad list.
Yeah, how do you really pull off, like I think about what the Boardwalk is now, which is not maybe what the Boardwalk was 20 years ago.
Right.
And it's like, how do you build the Boardwalk up if they even ever wanted to, with like so much like entertainment and dining in Epcot, like steps away? I feel like it was like a weird spot to put Boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, no, I agree. All right. Anything else you wanted to add this week?
Well, I feel like we covered a lot.
Yeah. All right, then that's going to do it for Two Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you all to our patrons over at patreon.com/Two Men in the Mouse. We love having you guys over there. If you're looking to support our good friend Peter Mandel, check him out at Rogue Comics at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or go to roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. Of course, if you are planning a trip anywhere around the world, but specifically those Disney and Universal locations, check out our friends over at Away With Me Travel. Reach out to Justin at justin@awaywithmetravel.com or show@awaywithmetravel.com. And yeah, let them take the reins of your trip for you. And of course, for me, folks, my books, they are all up on Amazon.com under the name Vincent Valentin. It's V-A-L-E-N-T-E-A-N. You can find them up there. Well, that about does it for this week. Pete, any closing words?
We'll do it again next week.
Yep. All right, folks, please keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.
This has been YDF Media Productions.